Blog Talk Radio.
Eastern Standard Time. We're your host, Ann Danner.
And Donna.
How is everyone doing this evening? We're on our new time. I'm so excited. My voice is hoarse. I'm kind of out of it from this weekend. This is like an awesome Valentine's weekend. How was your weekend, Donna? Mine was like awesome.
Oh, mine was over the top. I went to the mountains in Tennessee, and it was a couple retreat. And we had such an awesome time. Yes, we did. Sometimes adults need to get together and have a good time, and that's what we did. We had a wonderful time. I loved it.
Girl, well, my weekend was wonderful. We got a surprise, a big surprise from my cousin, surprised us, and got the kids overnight and took them to the Universal Circus, to Dave and Buster's. They booked a suite for them. They had the huge slumber party, and they booked a suite for us.
Really?
Yeah, in Buckhead at the JW Marriott. They paid for our dinner at Houston's. I mean, it was like the royal treatment. It was so nice.
Oh, my God. Can she be my cousin? Can she be my cousin?
It was, like, I'm going to tell you, when you put, look, we go out, when we leave, we stay in nice hotels when we travel, but we travel with three kids. So, you know, our amenities, we keep them at a limit. So we go to this hotel where they wait on you hand and foot from the time you can't get out of your car. The valet is already opening your door. They're opening your trunk. They're getting everything out. You know, they're taking, but here's the funny thing. Everyone has their hands out.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, zero cash.
No cash.
I had no cash on me. I'm like, you know, I don't travel with a lot of cash. So I had no cash.
Still, that was so awesome of your cousin to do that. Hey, children, God bless her. That was awesome. Really was.
Oh, when I tell you, it was so needed just to relax. But, I mean, we were still like kids, though. I was still like kids. You know, Donna, with this new schedule that we have, I don't even know what to do with myself, really. I mean, gosh, we're on Mondays now at 7 p.m. I don't even know what to do for myself. So I'm going to give everybody kind of the forecast here. Right now it's raining. We should kind of be good the rest of the week. Well, Tuesday and Wednesday, kind of partly cloudy here in Atlanta. Thursday and Friday, bright and sunny. Saturday, 10% chance of rain. Sunday, kind of a 20% chance of rain with, you know, a little overcast there. But it seems like it's going to be a pretty good rest of the weekend. Donna, what is the weather going to look like on your end for the rest of the week?
Well, here in Augusta, it's 49 degrees. We are supposed to get showers between 9 p.m. tonight. And tomorrow, our high is going to be 63 degrees. And, Anne, you know, we usually tell the people what we are sipping on. Now that we are doing our shows in the evening on Mondays, I'm going to tell you, I'm sitting here, I'm comfortable. I have my glass of Moscato, and girl, I'm ready. You sipping on.
Well, actually, I have some apple juice. I'm going to tell you, last night I could not wind down. So I told Jerry, you know, could you do me a favor and fix me, like, a glass of wine or something, because I'm, like, having an anxiety attack or something. So, you know, I can only, like, drink a little bit, and then I get this big glass of wine. I'm like, who is he fixing this wine for? So it's a good glass of wine, and I didn't want it to go to waste.
So you had to finish it. I understand.
Girl, yeah. And I complained about, oh, this wine is not doing anything. Chateau Alain is usually really good, kind of puts you out, kind of winds you down. You know, my doctor said, you know, instead of the, you know, sedatives, just drink you like a half glass wine, and it'll wind you down. Girl, I think it was like an hour or so. I don't even know where I was.
Well, they said wine is good for you. Well, Ann, what do you have going on in community news?
Well, not really community, but it's kind of community, but not community. Okay, so okay. I know everybody saw Beyonce's performance at the Super Bowl. But,
Yeah. You
know, there was something deeper behind the performance. And even when I saw the performance, I said, you know, there's something going on here. It's a little deeper. And she used this platform for something else. And I know there's been a lot of discussion, you know, a lot of folks kind of confused, you know, as to what went on. But I kind of want folks, because I've gone and looked at the lyrics to the song. So those of you who have not gone and looked at the lyrics to the song, you might want to go and look at the lyrics to Formation. Because those lyrics, that platform, you know, the platform that she used to expose those lyrics of the video that she released like the day before, which was very strategic. You couldn't have paid for that kind of platform. So it was powerful, but it was kind of slap in the face to a whole demographic. So I'm just going to leave it at that. It was a slap in the face, so folks a little angry now. But I just really wanted to talk about that because I had to laugh.
You were angry about it?
No, folks are a little angry.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
There's some folks a little angry about it. But I had to kind of laugh at it, you know, because she gave you the unexpected, guess what? You got it.
Right.
And it was funny. So what do you have in community news?
Well, this has nothing to do with my community, but this is coming out of Columbia, South Carolina. And I'm speaking directly to those people who live there in Columbia, South Carolina. There is a mid-touring group. It's called Girls on Fire. They are having a father-daughter dance, a mother-son dinner dance.
Huh.
And it's being hosted by Keisha Ross Saturday. Keisha Ross.
Yeah.
Our favorite girl who always call into the show.
Yes.
We love you, Keisha. The dance is going to be held Saturday, March the 12th, at 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at 300 King Grant Drive in Columbia, South Carolina. You can go to their Facebook page, which is called Girl on Fire. You can IM them. The tickets are $8. And I'm going to tell you, this is a very positive group for young girls. There's no fee to join. It's for ages 10 to 18, even though they have college girls there also helping to mentor these girls. It's a great look. I'm so proud of Keisha and her organization for starting this. Girls on Fire, because, yes, these girls are on fire. And I'm so proud that they are doing something positive for their community. I'm proud of anybody who's taking the time out to mentor young children. Period. Yes. I don't care who you are. I'm happy that you're taking that time out, and more people need to do that. And I think this was so cool that these women came together and started this group, Girls on Fire. So those people, go out there, support them that live in Columbia, South Carolina. Go to their Facebook page, IM them, and purchase a ticket, and go out there and support them. So, Anne.
Yes. Yes.
What do you got going on in celebrity news? Because I'm ready to hear the gossip, honey. I'm ready to hear it.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you something, okay. Kanye West had to put, like, a check factor on folks who, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to stay out of folks' pockets. I'm good for staying in my own pocket, and I kind of stay out of other folks' pockets. So you got to learn to stay out of folks' pockets. You know, Kanye West, sometimes when people make statements, it doesn't necessarily apply to them, really. They're just making a statement, or they're trying to be funny. But Kanye West kind of made a statement that, okay, I'm $53 million in personal debt. So,
what?
You know, and he's saying, please pray we overcome. But no, he really wasn't. So
basically this was a rumor?
No. Because his net worth is like $100 million, okay? And Kim, she adds like $50 million more to that. But he's like poured that much into his clothing line.
Mm.
You know, so that's what he was kind of saying, you know, but people took it a different way. And so they're like, oh, my gosh, Kanye's broke. He's like $53 million in debt. No, never that. No. So don't get it mistaken. The boy's not broke.
Is he just buying his clothing in? I mean, what is the name of his clothing line? I don't know.
I don't know. I know it's expensive. It's not my type of clothing. I'm just going to say that much. It's not my type of clothing.
Okay.
I don't know. It's not my type of. I wouldn't wear it. No. I wouldn't wear it. No.
Okay.
But if I wear it, evidently somebody's buying it. I mean, look, I went in Macy's and I saw Peter Thomas ties. If Peter Thomas can get, yeah, shut up. If Peter Thomas can get some ties in Macy's, Kanye West could sell some clothes somewhere.
I never seen him wear a tie on the show. Have you?
Well, he's selling them.
Because, I mean, seriously, I mean, we all know that Steve Harvey has a tie line, and he wears his ties. He wears his ties, and
well, I ain't see Cynthia wear that many shades, but now she got this big old shade line.
Yeah, she do. And I heard they nice, girl.
Yeah, they're nice. So, I mean, you know, people just, you know, wherever they see they can make some coins, that's where they put it at. So
I ain't mad at them.
They make some coins. But on to more celebrity news, honey. And I kind of like this one. Stand by your woman, Devon Franklin. You know, he's married to Megan Good. Well, she's Megan Good Franklin.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The pastor.
Yes. And, you know, they were doing kind of a Q&A with some fans, and one of the fans stood up. And, you know, you should have known some mess was coming behind what she had to say because she said a whole lot of mess before it. So then she, you know, she was like, we have to live by what we say. With that being said, she was telling Megan to kind of put some clothes on.
Proud of people messing with that girl.
Thank you. But Megan didn't have to check her because he did. And I was so proud of that moment.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I was so proud of that moment that he checked and he said, wait a minute, hold up. No, no. No, and I was so glad that he checked that mouthpiece.
Mm.
That said that she had to put some clothes on because her clothing didn't make her any less of a Christian than your gossiping made you any more.
That's right. That's right.
So, look, I mean, let's not go there. So I'm so glad that he checked her.
Okay.
Let me let you go on to celebrity stuff. Girl, before I go, girl, let me let you go on. I had to raise up by my chair.
Well, I'm going to tell you, my celebrity news, we back on Miss Black China. We all know a while ago she was busted for being drunk and disorderly conduct and drug possessions, which now could end up costing her custody of her son, King.
Tyga, well, she's going to get a custody, too, because Tyga ain't no better.
Well, I mean, when we looking at drugs and, you know, you drunk and you got possession of drugs, so...
And he's about the same thing. I'm just... Child, this is exhausting, this whole... Man.
Well... Let me tell you, Tyga has already filed legal documents to change the custody arrangement. And now, thanks China's recent run-in, proves he's the more responsible parent and should have King during the week, allowing her visitations on the weekends. And Tyga is well aware of the video, because you know Rob had posted a video of him playing with King. And I guess people must have thought that Tyga was going to get upset about it, but guess what? He didn't. Tyga is cool with Rob's relationship with China, and he has no fear about being replaced as a father figure by anyone, including Rob. Tyga thinks Rob is a good guy, and he has no problem with him. But China, on the other hand, he has major issues with her, and he's trying to get full custody of his son, King.
Okay. Well, let's see how let's just
pray for the child at the end of the day.
Yes, let's pray for this child.
Let's pray for the child, yes. Well, moving on, Layla Ali and Portia Williams and Tyra Banks are heading to the Celebrity Apprentice Ballroom. Season 8.
Wait a minute. Tyra just had a baby. Well, she didn't have a baby.
Right, she didn't have nothing. They just congratulated her on that. But she will be on Celebrity Apprentice. Season 8 of the NBC series announced that the three are among the 16 contestants competing for the grand prize. Other contestants include Lisa Leslie, Eric Dickerson, Boy George, Nicole, a.k.a. Snooki, Kyle Richardson from Housewives Beverly Hills, and guess who's going to say you're fired? Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger will replace Donald Trump as the host. I think it's going to be good because, come on, we're talking about Portia Williams. We're talking about Muhammad Ali's daughter. We're talking about Lisa Leslie and Boy George. Oh, my God, that show is going to be off the chain.
We already know who's going first.
I'm looking so forward. I'm going to tell you what's really making me so excited about seeing this Celebrity Apprentice Season 8. Boy George, child. Oh, my God. I used to be in love with Boy George.
I don't know why.
Come on now.
Well, we already know who's going first.
Who going first, Ann? It's not going to be Boy George.
If you can't say nothing nice, that's why I choke.
Well, I'm going to tell you, a premiere date for the show has not yet been set, But I will keep everyone posted. I will definitely keep everyone posted because, honey, I will be tuning in to season 8 to watch this one. Celebrity Prince is going to be good. They got a good lineup.
It might be good. I don't know. Well, any more celebrity news, Donna?
No.
All right. On to our topic of the day. During slavery and from the 1800s through the 1980s, the concept of family was tight-knit, strongly woven, and the envy of most cultures. The African-American family unit survived in spite of unimaginable cruelty and adversity. It is only recently, during the last 30 years or so, that the African-American family became dysfunctional and lost its direction. One has to think for some twisted reason we do not feel whole because in many cases we allow others to define us. We want you to join in tonight and share your views of what happened to the black family. You know, Donna, this is kind of an emotional one because we always talk about, you know, the black family and what happened to, you know, the black family as we once knew it.
Right.
And you know, getting back to the basics, because I remember a time when we were such a strong unit as, you know, a black family, or to be politically correct, an African-American family. And it's for some reason we just can't catch hold. We just can't grasp anymore. And it just makes you wonder why, what happened.
Yes. And it definitely, this generation definitely makes you question what happened within the family. And you know what, Ann, honestly, you didn't have to be blood relatives. We stuck together as a unit, family, friends, as black people, the community always, always has stuck together. You know, Miss Robinson down the street was able to tear your behind up if your mother was at work and she knew that you wasn't supposed to be doing something that you wasn't supposed to be doing, and it would not have been a problem because everyone looked out for everyone's children. Everyone looked out for each other because it was a tight-knit unit. We don't have that anymore. Everybody turns a blind eye now. If someone sees someone's child, they don't pick up the phone and call that person and say, "Well, Donna, I see your son doing this and doing that." No, everyone is like, now, well, I'm minding my business. He's not my responsibility. He's not my child. So, yes, there's no more unity anymore. And I don't understand why. I really don't know why.
Because it's like somewhere along the way we were kind of infiltrated. You know, someone said that, all right, they're too strong. You know, they're sticking together, holding together. They're too strong of a community, and there's something that we have to do to kind of break the forces and kind of break them up. So I don't know where it came in or how it came in, but somewhere it crept in, and we began to not trust each other. And your business now was just your business, and my business was my business, and I no longer wanted a part of yours and didn't want you to be a part of mine. So whatever happened in your house, that's the way I felt. Well, that's her house, you know, or and vice versa, you know. So we grew more separate, we grew more apart as the years passed, and that's what we face now. But there has to be a way to kind of get that back. You know, we talked about before in a show, I think this was a while back, we talked about our families. There was a point where we sat down at the kitchen table and we ate together. And Sunday dinner was something that you could not miss. You know, dinner in general was something when, you know, you just now, you know, everyone has their own agenda.
Yeah, you know, there is no more gathering at the family table at Sundays. You can go into people's homes right now, and the family is not gathering at the table for dinner. Everybody is in their own different space and area. The children come and get their plates, and they go in the other room. The father gets his plate and goes sits back in front of the TV. Moms get her plate, and she goes into the bedroom. There's no unity. No one is sitting down. No one is conversating as a family. You know, and that's what tears the family apart. The unit is no longer a unit anymore.
Well, but you can go into the homes now, Donna, and they don't even know where everyone is.
I know.
But you're live and on the Painful Truth. State your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Tracy Sosa. I'm Donna's cousin from Jersey City.
Hi, Tracy.
Welcome.
Oh, how are you?
I'm blessed. I'm just hanging in there, girls.
Well, what is your opinion, Tracy? What is your opinion about our show? What is your view about the black families not a unit anymore, basically?
That's because of lack of communication with our children and with our sisters, brothers. That's why we don't have any unity anymore. It's like everybody's so busy with their lives or a lot of things that's going on that they can't handle, and they become so bitter. So they just turn their back on their family when they're supposed to, you know, come to their family for everything. It's like my business is nobody's business when your business is everybody's business, when we are family, supposed to be a unity. And they want to hide everything out. And then the only time that they want to bring things out is when things get worse for them and they can't handle it no more, where it becomes a sickness or death. And that's when you know about it, when you can help. Support goes a long way. When you have love, you get that support, you will live longer. That's how I see it.
Yes.
And
we don't have
that's
that.
The truth. That's the truth. It is a lack of communication. It's somewhere along the way we stop talking.
Yes.
We stop communicating. We stop telling one another how we feel. And we begin
yes.
to close ourselves up, and not necessarily
yes.
close ourselves up within our homes or what have you, but we begin to close ourselves up inside and say, you know what,
yes.
I just won't say anything else to her. I'll
but
walk
you know
past what? Her and turn my head.
You know what,
yes.
Ann? You know what, Ann and Tracy, let me tell you. Right now, if you ask the average person in their family, when the last time you told so-and-so you love them? I bet you they can't tell you, because that's
uh-huh.
a word that is not, that's a word that is not used among our family often. No, it's like everyone has a problem now to tell someone in your family that you love them.
Love
we
them.
Gotta
and
have
it's
it.
Just, and it's already installed in us, so it's not like it's something that we just come upon and just, you know, to say, oh, is this something to say for today? No, it's instilled in you. You have a heart. And if you have a heart, you have love, because God is love. So I don't understand why people just don't feel that they're afraid to say it, or it's something that they're contagious of. Love is love, because if you have God in your life, even if you have your own relationship with him, he is the key to everything. So that just spreads along. We are here as messengers to spread the word to one another, you know, and people don't want to say it. People don't want to show it. I'm an affectionate person. I want a hug. I want
okay.
some love. Show me love.
That's right. That's right. And it don't hurt, but today in the black community, it's like, you know, everybody, they want to show their love at the funeral home.
Yeah, they want to show their face and be known, but isn't it a little too late to where that you didn't pick up the phone to say that you love a person or send them a message to say, oh, I love you, or you were thought of today. You came to my mind. Let me just tell you that I love you if I don't get to talk to you no more today. or a month from now. But just know today I told you that I love you. And the last thing that I can say to you is, last time I spoke to her was when she told me she loved me today.
Right.
But you know
right.
what? A big issue within our Black families are that we are letting other people in other communities define us
yes.
when at one point we defined ourselves.
Right.
We were that.
Right.
People gained strength from us because of our strength, how we stuck together. But
it was
somehow we lapsed on that, and we let them define how strong we were.
And they let, you know, and they put so much fear into us where that they don't want us to travel. They don't want us to go places. They put on what they want us to know. But a lot of times that they put things on news, they're not really telling us the whole complete story. They only tell us to keep us in fear. You know, I just told my friend, he didn't want to take a flight. I don't want to fly. Why? But you can take a train, and train can get in a train wreck. But I'm going to get on a plane because I'm going to get there quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't walk in fear. I walk in faith.
Yeah.
So if I walk out my door, anything could happen to me walking out the door. But you worrying about if the plane going to come down. Guess what? You pray before you get there. You pray while you're on there, and you pray when you get off.
Exactly.
Right. But you know what? A prime example is the raising of our children. At some point, people begin to tell us how to raise our children.
Well, they're doing it now.
They can't do this to you. I can't do that. And then the children got wise to, guess what? You can't do this now. Or you can't do this now. Or do that now. Or I can pick up the telephone and I can have you in jail right now. So it started out, you know, kind of, you know, as this small monster that grew into this big old beast.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have out of control kids. And it kind of bled over into other communities that they didn't really expect it to bleed over into.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But you know what? We have
to
get back to the basic. And the basic
communication
has to start in the home. It has to start in the phone, in the home, with the mother and the father.
It has to start with the family. It has to start with the family, and that's where the repairing needs to start, the healing that needs to start. It has to start right there within that family, within that unit, within that bond. That is something that we talked about initially in one of our earlier shows is, you know, and that's something I've spoken about for a long time, is getting back to the basics. We have to go back to the basics of eating together. We have to go back to the basics of discipline that, you know, a long time ago my parents had this thing where you didn't really have a say-so. If this is what we were eating, this is what we were eating. If this is what we were doing as a family, this is what we were doing as a family. You don't tell
me. That's what happens where it starts to break down with the children is because you reason with them. And when you give them that option that they have to reason with, no, it's not what you want, it's what I say.
And you know, the sad part about it, ladies, is that 9 out of 10, the children are running the household. Children are running the household because the children are telling the parent what they're going to do, what they're not going to do, what they want, and the parents run out and go get the child a $100, $300 pair of sneakers, and that child's controlling you. When you know you can't afford it, and you run out there and go get it. So that's what I mean about it. We got to get back to the basic with the parents need to take back their household.
Mm-hmm. And it's like they're trying to be their friend and be a parent and a child. That's the thing.
Yes.
That's part of it as well. Because, if so-and-so is going to get mad if, you know, if I don't buy him this or buy her that, she's going to get mad. Guess what? If I ain't have it, what the hell she was going to get?
Nothing.
Because so, I know I didn't.
Exactly.
You know, people don't realize of the things that we had to bear. You know, me, you know, Donna know my situation. I was put out at the age of 14, so struggling, and Donna and my cousin Carol also just looking out for me, so tell them where I'll be if I didn't have the love, and they knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But we had each other to, like, build each other up.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Going, you know?
Yes.
So, you know, and it becomes bitter and anger, and I know, you know, I forget my mom for all my stormy days, but it made me stronger and a better parent to keep my kids together and keep them to keep doing what they're supposed to do to be responsible. But I had control.
But you know what?
You the child.
See, that,
yes.
I'm going to tell you this. That, again, comes back. You just spoke of me and Carol. But, again, that comes back from how we were raised. We were raised mm-hmm. to love each other and to
yes.
stick together
yes.
as a unit. And when you have that already in you, you're going to continue that. You're going to pass that on to your children. And then your
mm-hmm.
children will pass that down to their children. So somewhere in the black community, that line got broken.
Yes.
Somewhere down the line. And that's what we're trying to get back to, and that's what we're trying to figure out. Where did it go? Where did it get broken?
On the line, caller ending in 1731. You're live and on The Painful Truth.
Hey, ladies, this is Joanne. Ready for your
Hi, Joanne. How are you?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing tonight?
Great. Things have been going great with you. You sound good.
I do. Well, I've been having a hard time, so I got. Let me tell you something. I got love and God, so that keeps me good.
That's
absolutely.
Right.
Better recognize.
And I know we're talking about family. Let me tell you, family don't have to be blood.
It's
family.
That's right.
Family is about love. And if
exactly.
we get back to loving each other and one another, that's what family is about. Everybody
absolutely.
Is our family. We
got to
love
right.
each other and love one another because
family
love
is
love.
That's
right.
That's true.
As we shine, we got to shine with love, baby.
Joanne, what do you feel has happened to the black family?
I think we have, and I'm speaking from my point of view and even with my family. I got cousins that ain't cousins that are cousins. I got sisters that ain't that are sisters. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's wrong with these crazy black folks. They forgot about loving one another. We just
yeah.
got so into each other and into ourselves that we so jealous and envious of each other that we don't know what family is about. But family is about love. The next door neighbor was your family. Let me say, when we grew up, everybody was cousins.
The community raised us.
You know what I'm saying?
You couldn't
yes.
run wild without Miss Rachel busting you for doing something you ain't supposed to know. You're going to get a whooping when you go upstairs, but she going to beat
exactly.
you before you get there. But now we don't have that. Oh, you can't cuss out somebody so-and-so child without somebody saying something to you.
I cuss out the child and the mother too. Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
But you know what, ladies? We just now covered part of the problem. Tracy said, one, community. Ann said, back to the basic. I said love, and Joanne just said the community also. Those
yes,
are the things
yes.
that's missing. Those
that's
are the things
it.
That are missing.
Listen, we live in a neighborhood now where we go out the door and say hi. We don't even know the neighbor's name. You know what I'm saying? When we grew up,
nope.
we knew everybody on the damn block, and everybody knew us.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now, yep. you go outside, you say hi. I can't tell you who I say hi to. All I can tell you is I say hi to the face.
They be like, are you from South? Because everybody I see, how y'all doing? Caller, you're live and on The Painful Truth. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, this is Tico. How are you guys?
Hi, Tito.
How are you
doing?
Hi. Okay, before
how are you?
I'm fine. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear
yes.
you.
No, am I clear, Doug? Do I need to call on my cell phone? Or this
you,
sounds
no,
clear
you're
enough?
Very clear.
Oh, you're clear. So, you are clear.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Oh, Tico, what are your views? What has happened to the Black family?
Okay, I just came in on the tail end of everything. So the topic is what?
What has
what
happened
is the breakdown?
To the Black
yeah, what,
family?
Oh, the breakdown of the Black family?
That we're not
yes.
a unit anymore like we used to be, Tico.
Right. I mean, I have an idea. I think it had a lot to do with socioeconomics. I think it also has a lot to do with teen pregnancy. I think all that plays into the breakdown of the Black family. And I think much of the morals that we live by wasn't adequately transferred to that following generation. And so they grew up thinking that they had all the answers. And so this is the state that we find ourselves in. That's my opinion. I think it's a combination of different things.
And, Tico, I agree with you because I remember 20 years ago when Bill Cosby said teenagers are having babies and they don't know how to raise them. Well, we
yes.
sat down and they laughed about everything the kids did that was bad and divided them. It was a joke back then, but now these are grown ups now, so they don't know about family. Nobody really knows today. And again, we don't teach our children our history. We don't teach them about how we were raised. We just keep on moving with everything is modern, so we became modern.
And then a lot
right.
of
but it's not about being
that...
what we have forgotten about is love.
Mm-hmm.
Even though
and
our next door neighbors. Beat the hell out of us, they loved us. You know what I'm saying?
Only because
to
teach us the right way. And only to teach us the right way, but also the teenagers that were growing up that was having the babies never had the maturity level to grow up. So they're still living in the past of being a child, even
yes.
though even
that's
becoming
right.
an adult. So this is what transpired over as years go by. Of grown ups still living in a past because they never had the teenage life that they wanted
exactly.
to have. And it
exactly.
becomes so bitter of them being so ignorant and not knowing how to deal with a lot of adult things because they wind up dealing with it in on the
well,
immature level.
Babies having babies. So
yes.
if you were
baby.
And you know what the biggest problem in the breakdown of the Black family was we stopped becoming a village.
Yes.
Unity.
Yes.
Unity.
Exactly.
We lost
everybody
the village.
Exactly.
The village separated.
And we got to the point where
yes, the village
no
the village no longer exists at all.
No. No.
It
you
no longer exists at all.
Don't say nothing to my kid. I don't want you to say nothing to my kid. Whether your kid is doing right or wrong, don't say nothing to my child.
Yes.
And
I said that
where,
earlier. Yes.
Yes.
Because
don't say nothing
wrong.
To my
I'm,
child.
I'm going to also posit. I'm going to also posit a different notion too.
Mm-hmm.
I think also the breakdown is the father being absent from the family, and
yeah.
when
oh,
the
absolutely.
Father is
yes.
When the father is absent from the family, the boy child does not know what it means to be a man. And so he takes on that street personification. He goes to the street
mm-hmm.
and the street
he
comes to what,
he
right. And so the most important thing is, because there used to be a time when I was growing up, and Donna, you remember this.
Yes.
Some guys used to take pride in the fact that they were able to compete with one another.
Oh,
nowadays,
yes.
Nowadays, a man takes pride in how many women hearts he can break. How
yes.
many
exactly.
Can
you better preach. That's right, Tico.
Exactly.
That is so true.
Yeah.
And there became a lack of respect in the household for parents versus children.
Yes.
Children stopped respecting their parents, and parents stopped respecting their children. It began to go both ways. It started with the children stopping the respect of the parents first, but it began to go both ways. And then children started having to take on a more parenting role for the parents that stepped out of the role.
When you begin
to have absentee parents, then you now had children that had to step into the role of becoming a parent for their siblings, for parents that weren't there.
But you know what? Let me tell you this. I'm gonna tell you this. I still believe that it was the breakdown, and it's a different time and different era. Because in my era, when I was growing up, I had to become that parent for my sisters because my parents worked, but there was still respect. It was respect because I was taught that my mother and father had to work, and I had to make sure her house was clean. I had to make sure my sisters and them did their homework. That dinner better have been cooked. I took on a responsibility, but guess what? I had the most up respect for my mother and father, and my sisters had the respect for me. So that had nothing to do with it. It's just the fact of how you being taught. A lot of parents now are single women who children just don't have no respect for her and talk to her any kind of way because, again, that mother is trying to be that kid's friend.
Exactly. I said that earlier. Adults trying to be a kid's friend when they're supposed to allow them to know what lane they're supposed to be in. There's only two, adults and children. If you cross over an adult, don't think you're going back to a child tomorrow. You got to always know your place. And if you don't put them in their place, that's why they always crossing over back and forth whenever they get ready to because they don't allow them to know who's the parent.
Yes, I'm quite sure you guys know and y'all all remember because we all been there. You know good and well, we bet not had been in that room when our parents had company. We bet not been nowhere in a conversation because your head would have got smacked off your shoulders.
Absolutely.
But you know what?
These
children today, they join in the conversation with the adults, and it kills me every time I see that these people allow the children to join in the conversation with adults.
There were rules and boundaries. The rules and boundaries changed, and then the rules and boundaries kind of disappeared in some areas.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. The rules have changed.
And don't forget the introduction of drugs. Don't forget about that also. That kind of inhibited or kind of like crippled a lot of parents who would otherwise been great parents.
So grandparents now became the parent.
And
they had already raised children. Now they're parenting all over again. So their lives come to a stop, come to a halt.
Today, we can't say nothing. I think, and back in the day, we were allowed to say what we wanted to say to kids. But today, they'll say, I'm not going to say that. I'm afraid. We have become afraid of the adolescents.
Mm-hmm.
When you're afraid to speak to the adolescent, then the adolescents control you.
And allowing them to control. That's what it's basically, and they're out of control, and they're trying to control everything.
But I'm going to say something pretty controversial, and that is I personally think the breakdown really started with the kids who were born in the 1960s, because at the time we started having our own children. We didn't follow the rules and regulations that were handed down to us. I've heard so many girls and so many guys will always say, I'm going to be a better parent to my kids than my mother was to me. My mother didn't allow me to go out. My mother didn't allow me to stay out all night. I'm going to allow my kids to stay out all night. And
mm-hmm.
so they, and then the kids mm-hmm. got confused with the boundaries. And then the parents, they got really upset because they felt that they didn't have a early adulthood. And so they actually entered into their second adolescency during the time the kids were like in their like teens. So today in Jersey City, here's my example. It's not unusual to see mother and daughter at a club or a bar looking to pick up men. That's not unusual.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is so true, and that is so sad on so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
And this, but this is what we say.
It's not only in Jersey City. It's in every major city. I live in the city of Augusta. I was working at a club, and I could see guys coming there to pick up the mothers and the daughters being there at 19 and 20 years old, and the mothers joined in with the daughters to pick up the guys. So it's not
uh-huh.
only in Jersey City. It's everywhere now, and you're absolutely
okay.
right. We've allowed our children to disrespect us, and we have, and that's what I was getting ready to say. We see the mothers have several different men. You're with a man for 6 months and he's staying in your house and you get rid of him. Then you got another man in your house and you get rid of him. And your children see this. Oh,
yes.
This is daddy for a few
And they think that that's the norm. They think that
exactly.
that's the norm.
Exactly. Exactly. We get, listen, when I was a kid, my parents were there when I was five. I ain't never seen nobody sleep in my mother or father's house. And up to this day, until I'm grown. But today, you got your men coming in. And not only men, but it's with the guys, too. The guys have a woman, and she comes in to the family, and the father brings that woman, and then he's with her a year or 2 years, and then he leave her, and then there's another woman. And then he leave her, and there's another woman. This is what we taught our children to be. Well, we weren't taught that way. Everything was secretive. If your mother had another goddamn man, or your father had another man, they didn't bring him home. How
no.
You didn't feel with them.
Didn't know nothing about him.
Yeah. Good evening. Good evening,
exactly.
Issa. How are you?
Good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening, Issa.
Everybody
Keisha, you so used to calling in the morning, you was going to say good morning, huh?
You caught that, didn't you? I'm mad you caught that.
We had to laugh on that one. She caught it quick.
Yes, she did.
Issa, what are your views on the breakdown of the black family?
To everyone, and I agree with everyone as far as the communication, the community, the young mothers. But my experience, my mother had me when I was 17 years old. When she was 17 years old, my father was very active in our lives. But I was not, even though I knew that my parents loved me, it was nothing that was spoken every day. We didn't do hugs. We didn't do I love you. We didn't do this. But it was assumed because they took care of us. When I got married to my now ex-husband, I was introduced to hugging because they're a very hugging and affectionate family. I promise you, when they hugged me, I looked at them like, what the heck is going on with these people? And they were hugging, and they were hugging, they were telling them, I love you. They were writing, calling, I love you. They were doing things to show me something, and they didn't want nobody to assume that, I'm kin to you or you're my blood, I automatically love you. And we taught that to our children. I had my daughter when I was 20, and I tell my children I love them all the time. I hug. Now, right now, I walk with the people, I hug them, I love you. I make sure they know because I want to assume that, because you're my son or my daughter or I'm dating you or you're my mom, that I love you. I want you to know wholeheartedly that I love you.
Issa, you know what?
You're absolutely right, because my mother never told me she loved me. My father never told me he loved me. I just had to assume that they loved me. And my children are 18 years apart, and my oldest daughter, I never had that affection where I hugged her or kissed her. Now, my youngest daughter, she made me be that way with her. But I never, you're absolutely right. I never, because it, I wasn't even allowed to cry. Because if you cried, that meant you was weak. My father dare see me cry. Cry? Mm-hmm. What? You weren't allowed to cry. You wasn't allowed to show emotion.
Wow.
My family is that way.
Joanne, I am like you. I came from a family who they don't express their feelings like in terms of I love you. And we don't hug each other. However, let me make this clear. We know we love one another. There's no doubt in my mind that they love me and I love them.
Right.
But however, we do not express that other than showing you. We'll show you. We won't say
right.
it, but we'll show you.
Never. But never.
We'll show you. You'll see it in action.
But
I have a very difficult time using the word love.
I do too.
I have a very difficult
time. I do too.
Is it because you wasn't taught it, Tico? Is that what you're saying? Is it a problem because it wasn't taught to you? So are you not able to say you love a person? Is that affecting your relationship also?
Yeah.
No, it's not affecting my relationship. I don't think so. However, I wasn't really taught to actually use that word.
What I did for you, you already know that I love you. And at this time now, I'm learning how to say I love people. Because before, that was not a factor. You should have known that I love you, because what I did for you, and children today, they need more than that. They need to say they love us. I didn't get that. I didn't know. I had to be taught at an older age to say I love you. All my kids will hug me. I'll be like, don't be all mushy with me.
I'm going to use my grandma Dolly as an example. She never said she loved us, but we knew she loved us because she expressed it when she cooked. Oh, we knew it was love. This woman made sure she cooked for us every night. You know, this woman made sure she went out and did for. We knew that. We felt the love, even though it wasn't being said, but you felt the love.
Right.
I think that was their way of showing you their love.
And you know, Donna,
my mom never said it either. Now, as my mom got older, because I lost communication with my mom at one point in time in my life. But when I became a parent, I understood how bitter and upset and angry my mother was to, like, give up her young age to have 14 children. And then for her husband to walk out on her and not know where to go, she was real bitter. So it's like, whatever, y'all just get the fuck away from me. It's like she didn't care, you know. So
I'm sorry, y'all. Someone is making a whole lot of noise in the background, and we can't hear.
I don't know who that is. Somebody
moving around.
But, you know, my mom.
I understand that. I talk to my mother every day. But my mother never said, I love you. I talk to my mother every day. I call her every day to check on her. But still, she doesn't have that thing to say, I love you. You know what I'm saying?
Who walking? That doesn't mean that we didn't feel that we were loved.
Yeah. Exactly. That was my point when I made the statement about my grandma Dolly. Even though she never said she loved me, I knew that she had love for me because she expressed it in different ways.
So you don't feel like you missed anything?
No, I don't.
Okay, me either.
No, I don't.
I do. I feel
but
like I'm missing.
You do, Joanne?
Yes, I do.
But the point is, y'all, that is part of the breakdown in the community. We need to show more love to our children. My kids hug me every day. That youngest son of mine, he say, "I love you so much, I'm getting tired of hearing it. I love you, Mom. I love you, Mom. I love you, Mom." He gets my nose.
I was always affectionate. I think that's part of the breakdown
because I think there's an assumption. I think you have your people go on the assumption. That's like a husband and wife. A husband doesn't tell his wife, you know, just, and this is just an analogy. A husband doesn't tell his wife, "I love you." And then she says, "You know what? You know, I don't know if you love me or not." And then he says, "You know what? You don't know if I love you. I pay the bills. I do this. I do that. But you don't tell me."
Yeah,
and then he says, "Well, I don't have to tell you. I do things." You know what? Sometimes you have to hear it. That's because you do things. Sometimes you do things out of need or desire because you feel that I have to do this. It doesn't mean I love you because I do it. I just do it because I feel like this is what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where we get it confused.
And a lot of the relationships come from that.
Because you have parents that take care of children, and they can go through their lives and not even love their child. And you say, "Well, they raised the child. They had to love them." No, they raised the child because they were concerned about what everybody else was going to say about them if they did not raise that child.
And that's where a lot of it, the downfall comes from, of lack of love, you know, love and affection, you know. And I was always a person that always wanted love and always wanted a hug and always told everybody that I loved them because I always learned that, you know, by growing up, and one minute I see all of us together, then I see one brother leaving, this one going. It's like, I don't know when I'm going to see you again. So let's tell each other we love each other. Like, that's all I hung on to, cling on to, you know?
Absolutely.
To try to, you know, always be the bigger person, be like, "Don't be mad, but I love you. You know, it's going to be all right." But I always was that type. So I looked for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my last relationship, I just told him, "All I asked was you to do is show me love and give me love and catch on. Follow suit. The same way I treat you is the same way this is what I want." You know what I'm saying? Because I want to teach you something maybe that you never had. Someone to tell you love them before you go to bed, when you wake up, or you on your way to work, or you on your way out the door, because you never know when the next time.
Because
I feel they take that for granted when they don't have it, so they don't know how to show it and give it back. So I don't feel that I need to stay somewhere where that's not going to make me happy. Your material, your house, going to buy me a house, or going to buy me all these grandma's things, that's not going to make me happy. I never was that type of person that needed material things to make me happy. Give me love and show me that I am important in your life. Like, I am a priority, just like a bill.
As a black family, it's really about the pouring in. We begin to pour outside of the home more than we poured into the home. So now it's getting back to the pouring in to the home to build that foundation back up that was torn down.
Could you explain to me when you
we have to rebuild the family. It has to be a foundation laid down again, and we have to start all over building that foundation up again, and it has to start in the home. It has to start in the home. I'm going to tell you something. As a parent, you don't know how to be a parent. Everybody is a beginner in learning how to be a parent.
Even though you
see your mother did it, you're going to raise your children a totally different way, but you want to raise them with moral and respect. And I'm going to tell you, I tried to do that with my children, and I'm going to tell you, now that I have grandchildren, all I want to do is just pour all my love into my grandchildren. I want them to feel nothing but love. It's like that's the most important thing in my life right now is for my grandchildren to feel love. I don't want them to feel hurt. I know one day they are going to experience that, but if God willing and I can prevent it, I'm going to, because all I want them to know is love. And it seems like to me everybody should want to be that way.
So much hurt was put on our ancestors. So much hurt was brought into our households that hurt began to bleed into every member of the household.
But let me tell you something, and I tell my kids this. There is no right and there is no wrong when it comes to parenting. You can go to a store and you can buy any kind of book you ever want to buy, but there's never a book that you can go in the store and teach you how to be a parent. Every parent has a child to learn, and every person is an individual. So every parent that has ever birthed a child in this world, there has never been a book on instructions on how to be a parent.
Yes,
ladies, can I ask you a question? I want to know, as women, do you think that part of being a good parent is making sure there is both a mother and a father?
No.
Yes, because what?
No,
to a certain
I don't
point,
think so. Because
no,
bad, to
because
be
you
want to
make things
is,
work as a parent to have a family, because that's our focus once we become a mother or to find out, oh, I'm pregnant. Oh, you want that family. You know what I'm saying? But you can't force somebody to be there if they're not going to be there.
Exactly. Every mother wants that father to be a part of their child's life. No woman goes out here and have a baby and don't want the father to be a part of that child. Every woman wants that father to be an active participant in that child's life. But you cannot force that person to be in that child's life if they don't want to.
There are a lot of women today teaching my children to focus on God
because God is the father of all of us. So when you warn your children and there are no father to be around, they always have a father, because God is my father, he is their father, and he is every other father. And one thing about us, we get hung up on having other people to make us happy, but the only person that can make you happy, you have to be happy with yourself. As long as you're happy, God will provide you with everything that you need. You don't need another human being in this world to make you happy. And as long as we look for other people to make us happy, we will be sad. I get up every morning and I be happy because I got God in my life.
But I don't need any individual to
make me happy.
What you going to say, Keisha?
As far as me, Tico, when I was married for 15 years, that's all I wanted, because I wanted my children and father to be inside the household, because I was blind, thinking that I'm not going to be able to do it by myself. I don't want my children to not have a father in the household, because my father was in my household, but I have cousins who never met their father, and I see how they long for a relationship with their father. So I fought, but then you get tired and you realize maybe it's best if we go our separate ways and we raise our children together. And whenever, even though me and my husband, excuse me, my ex-husband was separated, I always had my father as a father figure. Whenever I needed my son to be talked to, or I thought that I can't handle it, I'm going to go get my father. You need to go talk to your granddaddy, because he did such a good job raising his children. Hey, Help me raise your not only your grandson but your granddaughters too, and all of my sisters are like that. I have only nephews are acting out, and we feel that there's too much. We have a father figure, and that's my father. So I would love to have that hug, that mother, father, and the kids, but sometimes it's just not in God's will.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes, God is. I want my children to know that every day that they wake up, whether with me or without me, that they are loved. They have a higher being that loves them, whether I'm there or I'm not. Because one day, if we play the role we're supposed to play, then we leave our children. And if we have our children are so trusted and loved in us, when we leave them, they're lost.
Absolutely. But they're lost. To always on Fridays have meetings with my children, you know, so that they will have some kind of communication of with me and what's going on with them. Because that's where I say we're the lack of communication with our children, and you don't sit down to see what they're going through. Because regardless, we look at them as children, but they go through just as much stuff as we do as adults. And we
yes, they do.
Absolutely.
And we stopped listening to each other. It became a thing where, you know what, I'm tired, I'm too busy for this, I can't deal with this, I'm not listening to this, you know, and then the children go off. You know what, in one of my psych classes, we looked at a video of how a family, you know, how different families handle dinner time. And there's one family that we were looking at. The mother said dinner, and then all the family came down to eat together. Another family, the mother said dinner. The family came down at different times. They sit at the table. They would eat separately. One family, the mother said dinner. They came down, got plates, and they went to different areas of the house and ate. Some went in the room, shut doors, whatever. One family, the mother said dinner. Nobody even came down.
Oh, wow.
So this shows you that there's like a huge breakdown in the family, period.
Like it
starts
with the family.
And we can't blame that just on
yes.
family. We got to blame that on society. Because, like you said, the fathers were gone and the mothers were at home. And when we get home, we're tired. We done work all day. We done dealt with whatever we had to do. We done got the train, the bus. When you get home, so we must teach our children that love is not sitting just at a table. Or love, when we come in our house should feel so damn loved that when you come in the door, we're going to just say, everybody, I love you. If we don't see each other no more again tonight, I love you and know that we are loved. Because love is just not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing.
So when you sit down at a dinner table, you put everything away. You're able to ask your children, "How was your day?" Or your mate
yes.
or whoever you with, "How was your day?" It gets that communication started.
I don't have to sit at a table to ask them that. As soon as they come in the door, I want to know how's your day.
That's
my husband. When he's coming in the door, I want to know how's your day. I'm
the question
to sit at the table, but I might be tired.
When does bonding start? When you
yeah.
Bonding kids.
Starts when you wake up in the morning. I wake you up in the morning. I love you. I wake you up, and I'm on my way to work.
You know what?
Have time
but you know what, Joanne? I kind of differ with you there. Bonding never stops because I walk this floor all night long, and I'm checking on these kids. I'm touching them.
Didn't I say,
you know,
the same thing.
To make sure. So bonding just never stops. It just,
That's what I just said. I said every day my whole household is full of love.
No,
she has
been this bonding star.
Bonding is when I walk in the floor, when you sleep, I'm still bonding with you. You don't know it, but I am. When you wake up in the morning,
bonding. It's supposed to be reciprocal.
I'm bonding with you through spirit.
Yeah,
well,
we're
supposed to
bond it together.
You better feel it.
Y'all got me cracking up over here.
I don't even.
Dude, man, I'm bonding with you. I'm bonding with you when I'm making you brush your
look,
teeth.
Well, if that's the case, I bonded with the middle kid this morning when I went to get my mail.
You better know. because there might be a bill in there I don't want to pay, and I might get mad. Might not be wanting to talk to you that day, but you know I'm bonding with you.
Well, guys, it has been another great show. We thank everyone for calling in.
Yeah, my deep freezer was on strong.
We see everyone
we
next.
Right now. We showing up each other. We all man, come on now.
We see everyone next Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on The Painful Truth for another moment of bonding. Everyone have a blessed evening, blessed week. See you next week, everyone.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.